Welcome to the 7th edition of the Weekend Windup. I'm your host, Jack Flanagan, and with a couple new guests this week. We've got Matt Provo, as usual.
Always.
And we've got two new guys, Zach Yeoman and Sean Tierney from the Presbyterian Blue Hose.
Hey, how you doing? Team. What's up?
So, we've got some new guys in here, but so, first we're going to talk about our two missing hosts, Manny Ray and Mitchell Roy.
It's all too often that we hear missing host Manny Ray. Where could he be?
I don't know if this is crossing the line, but I think he's been deported to Cuba. You might need to edit that piece out, but that's no, my guess.
No, it's fine.
That raises a good question. What does and doesn't need to be edited out?
Yeah. Where's the line?
True.
Where's the line? Where do we cross the line here?
So we're going to hop right into this. Where's the line? Where's the line, guys?
Can't call anybody out.
So personal attacks over the line.
I mean, I'm big on personal attacks, but...
personal attack guy?
Yeah.
That's good content.
I like to get nice and personal so they really feel something, but I'll hold that back.
So like you try to make it feel like they're in, you know, you're in their house, you're in their living room as they're listening to it.
You know, I like to think of it as projecting my own insecurities, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Very self-aware.
So, Flanny, you're a little late today. Can you mind explaining this, how this happened? I mean, Sean passed it. I saw him pass the studio and he still came here before you.
I was looking for Jack's car. Yeah. I thought the host would be here early. So I'd see his car. I'd be like, all right, this is the place. Drove by, wasn't there. Pulled in, wasn't there. 10 minutes later, finally there.
Yeah, we had to wait in the lobby.
Now, I'm going to explain this. There's a little natural disaster obstructing my commute to this office. What happened was there was a little police car blocking off the road, Campbell Road, blocked off because of the wires that were down. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. I was 15 minutes late. I'll admit it. But it was because of Mother Nature. Wasn't my fault. You guys have nothing here.
Jack, that sounds a lot like you're blaming Bedford PD. Are you not Blue Eyes Matter?
No.
You know what that sounds a lot like, though? That sounds like a Chinese hoax invented to slow the traffic in Bedford, New Hampshire, and cause economic depression.
Yeah. It does.
Natural disasters are alternative facts. They don't exist.
So are you saying that the Chinese government is in with the Bedford PD?
I think they might be.
Okay.
I'm
saying stay woke.
I'm saying no one can be trusted.
I'm thinking that might be where the line is. Not sure the Chinese government is in with the Bedford PD.
So that's over the line? I can't open people's eyes to the terrifying truth of what's happening in this country.
Here's a question for you, Flan. Can you prove that they're not with the Bedford PD?
Well, I mean, there was clearly a power line down. Tough. I saw it with my own eyes.
Here's Mitch.
So clearly there's a lot of things we got to stay woke about, including headphones, apparently, Gilman. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lively debate going on in the studio right now, trying to figure out what the best headphone setting is. I discovered that one ear in, one ear out seems to work best for me. But
So that was your first take? You walked into the studio first time?
First take, I'm thinking I want to be in the culture. I want to be hip-hop, R&B, going to do one ear so I can, you
know. Breakfast Club, sway.
So I'm staying woke. I'm staying aware.
Stay woke.
But, I mean, now I'm thinking two ears might be more comfortable. This is more of a radio guy
kind of look. Yeah. Two ears, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm more presentable.
I have a take on this one. I'm wearing the headphones over, both over my ears.
Now you've got a hat on, too.
Way forward on the head.
Yeah.
And the
that
hat,
is quite
too.
The look.
So I'm hearing it, but it's not like I'm being drowned out in noise here.
Okay.
It's a good point.
All right, well, we clearly got a lot of topics to talk about.
By the way, that's terrible radio. We're describing how we're wearing headphones, and
we need
no
a bad
one
radio
here
segment
can see.
As well.
Hey, you
hashtag
stay
bad
woke.
Radio.
You got to stay woke. But stick around. We've got all this and more coming at you with these two special guests. We've got some live calls today, so stick around. On 105.1, the Weekend Windup. Welcome back to the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. As we said before, we have special guests, Zach Gilman and Sean Tierney in the studio from the Presbyterian Blue Hose.
Is the phone ringing?
It already rang. And calling in right now, we have David Guimont. From
gah, gah.
What's that? from the Bakers, we've got a big Biddy game of the week, big match.
Absolutely, Jack. Absolutely.
Yeah, between
7 p.m. Dave... Sunday, Bedford High School.
Is that this Sunday we're playing you guys?
Yes, this Sunday.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
This is the game of the year. This is what people around Biddy have been talking about for years.
Basically the whole
season.
And they
will be talking about for years to come.
Years.
Any hot takes from the start? What do you guys think?
Hot takes, I think a big factor that'll play into it is obviously there's a lot of emotion out on the court. Especially with our team, we're going through a little bit of rough patch, went through a coaching change.
Your whole season's a rough patch.
Hey. This is my take. And I think the biggest problem for us is figuring out whose team it is. There's a lot of alpha dogs on the team. But yeah, you know, we're piecing it together. It's going to be a big win for the playoffs, or for the segue into the playoffs.
Sean, and what's your take?
If I had one X factor for this game, we need to get Sean Lang with the ball in his hands behind the arc. And see what happens.
Is it true that I heard he get 3 threes last game?
He did. He scored, I think, like 12 points last game.
Absolutely wet there. That's crazy. Yeah, so, Dave, how about you? What are we seeing on the Bengals?
You know, we've had not the best season. You know, obviously about 2 wins of the season. Still better than 2 of the teams that are sitting in that booth, the Blue Hose.
Wait a second.
The Koalas.
How are the Koalas doing right now, out of curiosity?
0-9?
0-10.
I think
that our two teams could band together for the common enemy, the Koalas. I think that there's a lot of love and respect between our teams and just hatred for the Koalas.
So is there going to be like a jersey trade at the end of the game? Like
you know, I think so. I'm hoping there's going to be some ceremony, but not sure if that'll happen.
There's going to be some type of photo op, press conference, a mutual bond and friendship between the two teams. But, you know, we're going to leave it all out there on the court. You know, our team's been through some hardships, you know, suffering some injuries. You know, we got some broken collarbones, a broken finger. But, you know, we're going to persevere.
Broken collarbones and a broken finger?
Yeah, we got, you know, Athens broke his collarbone twice now this season.
Same one.
I think everyone is not – he didn't break his collarbone during Biddy basketball.
Oh, okay.
He did not. I did suffer a crucial finger injury in video.
Now, Dave, who's the leading scorer on your team? Is that you? How did that affect the play of the Bakers?
Well, you know, we all go out there, and we actually look like a bunch of idiots, you could say, hucking up deep threes. But, you know, we don't really have a plan when we go into the game. We kind of just run around, pass the ball, try to shoot, you know, see who's open. But, you know, I've never really played basketball until this year, so I'm trying to just, you know, go out there and have fun, score some points, and, you know, I'm doing an okay job with that, too, you know?
So looking forward to next week, who do you think about matching up against on the Presbyterian Blue Hose? Who are you looking at as a potential matchup to go against?
Well, you know, they got the big boy, Kyle Jalbert, but, you know, they, as Sean said, can't underlook Sean Lang, so we're going to have to get a guy in him.
Double team, potentially,
force him to the outside. Yeah, you know. Force him to the outside. Can't let Sean Lang take those threes. Kid's an asset. Tried to trade for him, but Brennan wasn't having it.
Now, Dave, I have a question for you, and it's a subject that I think is close to both our hearts. The Biddy All-Star Game happened a few weeks ago.
God.
Neither of us were selected. Neither of us were selected by the guy who usually hosts this show, Mitchell Roy.
Call out.
Does it raise questions about corruption in the Biddy Basketball League for you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I feel like if Barstool Sports had, you know, gotten this one, they would have made Fire Mitch shirts, you know, with like Fire Goodell, you know, that whole drama. But, you know, I'm thinking about making some Fire Mitch shirts. I'll be dropping those soon. You can buy them from me. $45.
Squish the commish.
The commish.
Mitch is not my commissioner anymore.
Nope.
You know, he proved that he's not.
Hashtag not my commissioner.
Not trustworthy.
If there was a voting system for Biddy Basketball, we definitely won the popular. And yeah, by some trash electoral college.
Somehow I got in the Biddy All-Star Game, but Sean Tierney didn't.
There has been. This just adds Caleb to McDonald a long list of corruption. Game.
Corruption.
Surrounding the name of Mitchell Roy.
It's fake news,
he's
you know?
Been described
it's
as an egghead and a loser. It's sad.
It's sad.
Definitely. And even Matt had some had some charges of corruption against Mitch during the free throw contest. You want to talk about that a little bit?
I mean, that's been rehashed over and over again. You can check it out on BCTV. I had an exclusive interview with Sean Tierney. But, you know, the main thing with Mitchell is that he isn't the strongest of commissioners. The reason I was in the All-Star game was because I kind of begged him on the radio. And if he was true to his word and, you know, thought Jack Heaps was a better player than me, then he should have played him more minutes and kept him in.
Yeah, I actually wanted to do a little 2-on-2.
Oh, you know, so that's how we settle things?
You know?
Now, a 2-on-2 between who?
Me and my respective captain, Jack McDonough, versus Mitchell Roy and his respective captain, Zach Wheeler,
or anyone else
that wanted to challenge us, like Tyler Bennikoff, respectively. And, you know, also the highly respected Dirtbags captains. So, Shane Curtin and Sam Lederman. So we wanted a fair shot at the spot, but we were not granted that. And it's very sad.
So if I have this right, you are calling these captains out. You're challenging them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they aren't scared to lose, you know, I didn't see why they wouldn't have wanted to play us, you know?
Well, I mean, these are some of the best teams in the league. I feel like they probably beat the Bakers. What's your motivation behind this?
But isn't it true that the Bakers almost beat the Golden Grizzlies, who were the best team in the league, 10-0?
We did. We suffered a couple of losses before then. We came into this game not looking too high, but, you know, we knew we had to play hard, and that's what we did. And unfortunately, we came up short by about 6 points, but, you know, I knew we played good. You know, we couldn't stop kids like Eric Flynn. You know, he's a big boy, hitting some threes for them.
So 110% every game, giving it all you got, playing a team game.
Absolutely. 110% team game. Basically just running out there, trying to see who's open, hit the deep balls in there, because, you know, that's all that matters, those deep threes.
Dave, I have a question for you. You have a little-known superstar on your team, young guy, a lot of potential, Daryl Lennon. Tell me a little about what Daryl brings to the team and the type of dimensions it adds to your ability to win basketball games.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Cause, you know, Daryl Lennon, he was a sleeper pick. You know, he picked him up probably about, can't remember, I think it was 6th round. And he's standing at like 6'3", huge asset. He probably brings in about 10, 15 rebounds a game. And he took those offensive rebounds back, you know, those crucial 2 points every time. He gets like 10 rebounds a game, he'll get about 16 putback points. You know, those are crucial to the game. You know, that separates a win or a loss, you know.
When you think Daryl Lennon, you think warrior, grit, you know, trying to wrestle him up for rebounds is almost impossible.
Intelligent player who knows the game.
Basketball IQ.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have grit and basketball IQ, then there's nothing that can stop you.
Yeah. As the great Victor Plant says, basketball is like a game of chess.
It's true.
Yeah, so you just need those guys, those power people like Daryl Lennon.
Like a football guy.
Yeah, I need a good football guy.
Absolutely.
But Dave, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
And to all those listeners out there, if there are any, remember to come out for the big game this weekend. What is it, 7 p.m. Sunday between the Blue Hose and the Bakers?
That's late night under the lights, primetime television.
Under the lights.
I didn't know this.
I
didn't know when this game was. I didn't know it was happening this weekend. So my pregame routine will start tonight.
You got to get the pregame.
Carb load, power naps every 2 hours. I got to get ready for this one mentally and physically.
And with all the cameras, you got to get the pregame fit on, you know, on lock. Right?
Very much so. Walking through the stadium, got to make sure the press catches my nice outfit.
Dave, any thoughts on that?
You know, I have a lot of thoughts. You know, I got my interview with Charles Barkley and the TNT guys over at the NBA Network. They're at 6:45 for tip off. Talking to those guys about, you know, just my game plan and what's going through my mind before the big game. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of fans there. You know, you got to keep our cool and got to just simplify our game, you know.
All right, so we'll look for Charles Barkley at the game next week. And, again, thank you, Dave, for coming on. And just a reminder, you're listening to Bedford 105.1, the weekend windup. So we'll be right back after this quick break. Yeah. Welcome back to the weekend windup on Bedford 105.1. As previously mentioned, we have special guests, Zach Gilman and Sean Tierney, in the host.
Ayo.
And as always, we have Matt Provo. Unfortunately, no Manny Ray or Mitchell Roy.
Typical.
What's new, honestly? Manny's at his liberal moonbat stuff, and Mitch is doing some corrupt commissioner stuff. But anyways, we have a couple new segments coming at you today. We might randomly talk about some hypotheticals during our show, and we'd just like you to know that's where we pose a question, and we ask what could hypothetically happen.
What would you do? And, you know, so play along with it. Go along with it. Think of it in your head.
Exactly. But anyways, we're going to hop into our classic segments. And we've got first in the lineup, power moves. A power move is when you look at an event that's happened in the news and you look at how it's been a power move, pretty much.
Basically,
so, Matt,
yeah.
What's your power move?
My power move is the king of Saudi Arabia. Always, Saudi Arabians are always doing things big, always doing things a little bigger than they have to, right? And always a little extra. They do the most, as people say. And this guy is really doing the most when he goes. He's the Saudi Arabian king. He's traveling, I think it's like 25 planes or whatever, 3,000 people going along with him, and 3 people to hold his umbrella, and 325 people to hold his luggage. Like, isn't that insane? Like, who would even think of that? I don't even want to live like that.
It sounds like a good start to me. He's got
a good start?
Yeah, he's looking up. You got to learn to spend a million before you make a million.
Economics advice from Sean Tierney.
And that's what he's doing.
I feel like that's not a good method to personal finance.
He's a Saudi Arabian king.
Mm-hmm.
Got nothing to lose,
so
right?
So he can do whatever he wants with his money and no one will tell him he can't.
Now, that's not true.
Saudi Arabians are big oil guys. They basically got unlimited supply of money.
Now, we have people like Manny Ray, the global warming activist who actually believe into the Chinese hoax of global warming, who are going to try and tell the Saudi Arabian king that oil is bad for the environment.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But here he is rolling in cash. Manny, I bet you wish you were living like that. Gilman, any hot takes for this?
I'm just saying on the Manny thing, I don't think he would be coming out like this if Cuba was still banned.
True.
Just stay woke on that.
That's a fair point.
Stay woke on that.
Stay woke. That's another new segment we have, Stay Woke, where you got to stay woke. You got to look around and notice your surroundings and
redo this,
figure out what's going on.
Don't fall for the alternative facts.
You
people.
Can't fall That's for the alternative facts.
Cut that out.
We'll edit that.
Okay, what'd you do, Flanny?
I feel like that was...
Okay, so I guess we'll edit that out, Matt, if you really want us to. But anyways, my power move. Back in the news a few weeks ago, Kim Jong-un was tied to the murder of his half-brother for some Facebook posts or something, apparently. Now he's gone a step further, and he's executed multiple senior officials of the North Korean government. And not only did he execute them, he did it with anti-aircraft guns. There's been some comparisons made, and it's pretty much he's shooting an ant with a grenade. So what do you guys think? It's crazy.
So we're talking about Kim Jong-un and Saudi Arabian kings. Are we surprised?
No, they can't be.
Power moves are their memo.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
they're always very extra, right?
Exactly.
Like the poison.
I'm not
poison
surprised.
Thing. Like the poison thing. They poisoned his half-brother for being the annoying brother on Facebook or whatever. The poison could have killed, I think it was 1,000 people at once. But one guy, just it's enough, right?
He was doing the guy a favor. If you give the guy not enough to kill him, he suffers.
Yep.
You give him enough to kill 1,000 people, he dies before he realizes
So
he's
is
poisoned.
It really a power move?
You
then?
Give him that VX
no.
poison or whatever it was called.
I don't even think it is a power move. He can do whatever he wants, and he killed the guy quickly and painlessly.
But this was with anti-aircraft guns.
Quick
that's
and
like
painless.
Full on. That's supposed to take down like crazy military jets. Like,
so you don't think it would kill the guy before he even knows what's happening?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's other methods.
Another thing about Kim Jong-un, remember when he put the American and went to University of Virginia in labor camp, 15 years of hard labor.
It did happen.
For stealing a propaganda poster? caught on security camera.
Power move.
Power move by that frat brother from Virginia there, you know, but...
The kid's lucky he didn't get his hand cut off. That's how
exactly.
That's what the Saudi Arabian king would probably do.
See, you weigh your options and you're like, wow, I mean, 15 years of labor camp, you got to take it.
Kim Jong-un is clearly showing some mercy here. I think he's on the decline.
It's because it's family.
So would we consider Kim Jong-un a sportsman of the week then? Because that's our next segment, the Whitmore Sportsman Award of the Week. So pretty much what we do here, we look at the person who's kind of displayed the greatest sportsmanship of the week.
I got a combination of all the segments for this one segment right here. So last night, Celtics versus Cavaliers, Deron Williams has the ball. A three wins the game. He misses it, but stay woke, power move, and sportsman missed it on purpose because the Cavaliers just picked him up.
Yeah.
Power move. He's saying, this is my team. I'm going to miss the shot if I want to. So he misses the shot.
Hot take. Is it his team now?
I think it's either because Kyle Korver missed a 3-2.
Yep.
So it's either Kyle Korver or Deron Williams. I think they're going to duke it out in the locker room, but big sportsmanship move to say, you know what? I'm not going to win this game. And he just misses it. That's a big power move too.
I like the combination of all our segments. You really have like the full understanding of what we do here.
I'm really just digesting it all in, and out comes Deron Williams.
I feel like that is not a sportsmanship move, though. If you want to like take control of a team, make it your own, is that sportsmanship?
He's letting the other team win.
Yep,
that's a fair point.
ultimate sportsmanship move right there,
Matt. Sportsman.
Kind of staying on the basketball topic, I have Vince Carter throwing bows on the court and then laughing it off like it's nothing. I mean, he's what is he, 40 years old? Yeah, been in the league, grizzled vet. Dunk contest champion. Everyone knows who he is. So he, do you think
I don't know who Vince Carter is?
You don't know who Phil Jackson was either. So I mean, that's just, Vince Carter's a
legend. You're naming random people here.
So Vince,
people probably don't know who these people are.
And I'm not even going to try to explain it to you. And so Vince Carter, I forget who it was. Who did he throw the elbow at? It was someone on the Suns. I forget.
I have no idea.
I think it was like a rookie, and absolutely just murders him, and then just laughs it off like it's nothing.
I think that's even bigger power move because he's saying, you know, my generation, that was it right there.
90s basketball.
He was saying with that elbow, 90s kids only. He was saying with that elbow.
That's some street ball right there. If I'm
LeBron.
No mumble rap. No, you know, shoot up threes basketball. This is play down in the paint and shoot your homeboy if he raps a diss about
you.
Yeah,
none of that hip hop spanky wanky.
Welcome to the 90s.
Quick question. LeBron versus, let's think of a player from the 90s, right? Let's try to brainstorm. Like
Michael Jordan,
Master P,
D Brown, LeBron James versus like D Brown,
Magic Johnson,
Julius Erving,
Larry Bird.
Yeah,
would have LeBron survived in the era of the 80s, 90s trash talk elbow era?
I don't think so, because I don't think in that time LeBron would be allowed to be as corny as he is.
Yeah,
there's no Sprite commercials for him to be on. There's no
Godfather.
There's no
books
Instagram
for him,
for him to post photos of his stupid kids. I mean, there's no ways for him to be the corny guy that he is, so he would just shrivel up.
How about Chamberlain, the Chamberlain guy?
Nah.
He's pretty famous, right?
Wilt?
He's a pretty...
Wilt
Chamberlain?
Wilt Chamberlain?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, LeBron wouldn't be able to take him.
Yeah, I don't know. Larry Bird was tough.
Yeah. Larry Bird did have a staff.
Flanny, so. you're not a real basketball guy, obviously. But
no, I'm not.
You have a sportsman.
And that's actually
related
staying
to
on the topic of LeBron, sportsman of the week here, playing at the Boston Celtics last night. He was rebounding for a ball or something, charges into the crowd, and then he sees the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, just sitting there. Instead of barreling into him, he stops, pulls up, stops himself before he hits him. And this is just a classic sportsmanship move because he didn't hurt Bill Belichick. He did his job.
I think we got to now ask the question, is it Bill Belichick's team?
Yo,
does he own the Cavaliers?
Stay woke.
Is it his team now?
Good question. Does LeBron owe Belichick something that we don't know?
I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people owe Bill Belichick.
I'm not really sure what you guys are asking here, but this is my take. Bill Belichick sat there for the rest of the game pissed off because LeBron James pulled up. Bill Belichick does not respect and or accept anyone who pulls up during a game. LeBron James was not doing his job. LeBron James saw someone, got distracted, didn't do his job. Bill Belichick wanted LeBron James to rail him. That's Bill Belichick for you.
That's Fair point.
Confirmed, LeBron James, not a football guy.
Not a football guy. He wouldn't survive in today's NFL. He wouldn't even survive. He wouldn't survive in 90s NBA, wouldn't survive in today's NFL. So now we're moving on. The big if true. So this is something that's where we did this past few weeks, right? Where something news has surfaced, but it could be big. We don't know, right? Could be something potentially big, Flanny.
Oh, it's definitely big. We've got a huge take here. Hot take. I mean hot, let me tell you. Adam Schefter recently reported that the Patriots will not be trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Ooh. And here's why it's hot.
That's big if true.
This is huge if it's true. And here's why it's hot. Jimmy Garoppolo is the hottest quarterback in the NFL. And if we keep him on the Pats, that just adds to the hot factor of the Patriots. You got Tom Brady, Gronkowski if they don't trade him, and you still got Jimmy Garoppolo. It doesn't
Amendola?
Get any better than this.
Amendola?
Edelman, Hogan.
Hogan. Hey, do you know he played lacrosse at Penn State?
Did he play lacrosse?
Big time lacrosse guy. Yeah. Representing the lacrosse community.
He also got cut from four teams. I don't know have you heard this on the broadcast yet? He also got cut from four teams.
From the what broadcast?
Oh, this one? The football broadcast.
This one? This show?
The NFL broadcast.
It sounds like Sean is not a football
guys,
guy.
I think I'm being exposed. I've never listened to this show before.
But now you will, right? I'm a big fan.
And I'll tell you why. And I don't know if this is one of your segments, but this is just bad radio. I go onto your Instagram page. I see a link to the show. I click it. I'm like, I have nothing to do with my life. I'll listen to this radio show. And then it tells me to download some podcast app. And I'm like, this is...
Oh, you can just click the play button, by the way.
Now, wait a second. The person who runs our Instagram, Matt Provo, shouldn't he be taking care of this on the social media account for people like you who don't know what to do?
I'm just saying the convenience factor is not there, and I haven't listened to a single one of these radio shows.
That's true. We'll fix that for you, Sean. All right, my big if true, Chicago White Sox first baseman Jose Abreu, allegedly, this is what he said in court, so he's trying to, we don't know if it's true or not, escapes from Cuba, so he's one of those guys coming on a boat, right? He's one of those guys. He says he ate his passport in like a drunken stupor, and that's why he didn't have his passport when he came to the United States.
I'm thinking Manny knows the thing.
He said it was a fake passport, though.
Did he?
Yeah, he said. I read this article. He said that it was a fake passport with different name and a different photo. So that's why he ate it. He said he ordered a beer because he had a contract in Chicago that would have been revoked if he was like a day late. So I mean, it makes sense. You got nowhere to put the passport on the plane, so you can't throw it away.
Got to eat it. No choice.
You got to eat it. Also, big power move. Eats the passport. Says, I don't even care. I'm just going to eat this.
If anything, that might be a hard-o move, honestly.
Eating the passport?
Hard-o move.
I agree.
So he's not even thinking about the future. He's just like,
he's living in the now. He's like, I'm hungry. Got to eat the passport. No choice. Got to get these quick. Got to get this quick gains and just lifted, right?
Yeah, he's trying to culture himself, you know? He's getting some foreign stuff in him, like Cuban passport.
Why not, right?
Yeah, why not? Anyways, you could say RIP in peace to that passport, just like we're going to, as we go into this next segment, RIP in peace.
RIP.
Matt, give us your RIP in peace.
My RIP in peace. This one's interesting. It's not sports at all. Nothing to do with sports at all. But this Iowa congressman, so Iowa, middle of nowhere, right? Barstool Trent, you know, nothing's there.
First caucus in the nation.
That's true. But New Hampshire, you know, New Hampshire matters more. No one cares about Iowa.
Of course, obviously.
So this guy, he was pretending he had a college degree when all he had on his resume, what his real resume was, he was the manager at a Sizzler. Now, if you don't know what a Sizzler is, it's a casual dining chain located typically in the Midwest. So that's all the guy did, but he lied about it. So rip in pieces, political career, right?
That's fair. You could even say that's a power move.
It is a power move, but I mean...
He's a man of the people. He's worked among the people. He's led the people at Sizzler. I think that's what the people want.
Now, quick take.
You want a guy who's like, you know, a salt of the earth kind of guy.
Exactly.
Quick take. Let's get into a hypothetical. If you're running to be an Iowa congressman, does it really matter if you have a college degree?
No. No.
Nope.
No. Really doesn't. Because what do you have to do? Yay, nay, right?
I think the only states that matters, that it would matter if you had a college degree, New Hampshire,
yep,
Massachusetts, Delaware. Three states right
That's
there.
About it. That's all I can think of, too.
Yeah.
No other states?
No other state do you need a college degree to run for office.
Flanny, what's your rip and piece of the week?
So this actually just came out this morning. Very sad news for any Red Sox fan out there. Everybody was getting hyped about this phenomenal starting rotation. And then all of a sudden, it's reported that David Price might have to get Tommy John surgery. This just ripping piece to the Red Sox starting row. This could be terrible for the Red Sox. They were supposed to be the favorite to win the World Series, and now they have this. David Price out with an injury?
You know, on this, I've actually got to stay woke because, as we all know, David Price is what, like 0-8 in the postseason?
Oh.
So I'm thinking, comes back for postseason to a classic 0-10. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking maybe John Farrell injured his elbow on purpose, right?
To keep him out. Quick question for the viewers. Who even is Tommy John? Like, everybody talks about this Tommy John surgery, how terrible it is, but nobody really knows who Tommy John is. Come on.
I think the question we all got to ask ourselves is Tommy John Roger Goodell?
Is he Roger Goodell?
He's been known. Face the facts. Roger Goodell hates Boston, hates Boston sports. It would only make sense that he injures David Price.
Yep. I could see like Chris Sale and Rick Porcello going down with Tommy John, too.
Total big if true moment. I've never seen them in the same room together.
Oh, good point.
So
If that's true.
Is that not the litmus test for someone living a double life? I never saw Bruce Wayne and Batman in the same room. I never saw Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus in the same room.
True.
I've never seen Tommy John or Roger Goodell in the same room.
Stay woke, ladies and gentlemen. Roger Goodell just might be the infamous Tommy John.
Now, here we go. We have one that we do every week, right? The Hotto.
Classic. Classic weekend windup, which is on Bedford 105.1, which is what you're listening to right now. But this is a classic segment we have every week, the Hotto of the Week. This is where we look at people all around the world and those people who just make those crazy try-hard moves. They're the Hotto. Matt, take us away. Who's the Hotto of the Week?
I feel like we've talked about LeBron enough this this episode, but LeBron, if you watched the Celtics game last night, if you watched the pregame show, you know how they always show the players walking in with their outfits and stuff, right? Here's LeBron, headphones on, as always, but this time he has a book in his hand, The Godfather, and he's reading it, and he's still on the first page. He's been walking forever, he's still on the first page, and I really don't get it. Like, who is he trying to impress here? Who is he? If I remember correctly, there was like a time where he was asked what his favorite movie was, and he said The Godfather. And he was asked to say a line, and he didn't know any lines. So maybe is this him trying to show off for the press, saying, oh, I'm getting it now, you know? Like, what do you guys
maybe
think?
Maybe he's just a fan. Why you got to pick on him for that, Matt?
I got to pick on him because no one reads while walking with headphones on before a basketball game.
Hey, you know what? He's taking his talents to South Beach because he's the man. Sean, you got a hardo?
I have a total hardo of the week. I just saw this scrolling through my Instagram feed. Pantalones.finsta.
Now, Alex Pantalones, famous sophomore at the high school, famous for his Instagram live streams. Just that's a little quick take anyways.
Yeah. So we got a timeline of events here. He posts a picture of Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State 21 hours ago saying if it gets 45 likes, he will shave his arms and legs.
What?
That post now has 46 likes. So what do I see 32 minutes ago posted? A picture of him with shaving cream on his legs and a razor to his leg. Scroll over a few pictures. His arms and legs are shaved. Oh, that is Hardo of the Week material.
That is, see, Alex Pantalakos, new student to Bedford High School, moved from Dover, correct?
Yeah.
This is like, he is just coming in with a bang. Bedford, he's like, wow, new start, new me. I'm just going to, start doing all this crazy stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. That's giving the people what they want.
Totally.
It is.
The people liked the post because they wanted to see him shave his arms and legs.
People also go and like his post because he does crazy things.
True.
And they want to see him make a fool of himself.
His live streams are crazy.
It's the reason people tap the glass at an aquarium.
It's true.
They want to see what happens.
Stay woke, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, my Hardo of the Week. Donnie America, our President Donald Trump, came out with his presidential address.
Great speech.
Great speech. Total turn from the his usual campaign speeches. But he comes out, huge speech, biggest speech of the year. And you've got the Democrats in the crowd all wearing white. I don't know why, but that is a harder move.
A show of solidarity. It makes really no sense. Doesn't really make much sense.
Just let the guy do what he wants.
And you know, he's like, oh, the troops, right? And they still didn't clap. Like
Nancy Pelosi specifically did not clap
for the troops.
That's a hard-o move.
See, if you don't clap for the troops, then, you know, it's wrong.
You're not American if you don't clap, clap for the troops.
So is that maybe a hot take? We need to stay woke. Nancy Pelosi might not be American.
She might not be a fan of the troops.
Maybe she's a communist like you, Matt.
Also, I don't think Nancy Pelosi bought the Salute to Service NFL jerseys.
No.
So that's definitely, she doesn't like the troops.
She didn't buy us. Really? She didn't buy
so.
One?
Jeez. I don't think so. And anybody who doesn't buy one, clearly not supporting the troops.
That's a fair point. Hypothetically, do you think Roger Goodell didn't buy a Salute to the Troops jersey?
No. He probably made them. I think he made them and designed them just for a money grab.
Money grab.
Fair point. All right, so we're going to move into our last segment here. Jerry of the Week. This is where we look at people who kind of screw up in the news, and we call them out for being a Jerry. Matt,
all right.
Who's your Jerry?
Mine is the Louisville basketball guy shooting a half-court shot to win free tuition for a semester. He didn't read the rules. You couldn't play high school basketball or have played basketball in the past to be able to do this. I think they probably presented the rules and he probably lied, but then they find out he played high school basketball and he has to pay his tuition now. Like, that's just something, like, you can't get away with that. He obviously played basketball before, so.
Matt, I feel like you probably think everybody deserves free tuition.
No, that's not what I think. That is not what I think.
Really?
Sean, how do you feel about this?
Is he a Jerry, or is he just the victim of a scam?
I don't think it's a scam, because I feel like they presented the rules. Like, you cannot have, you know.
What kind of rule is that? Like, playing high school basketball means you are, like, that much more likely to hit the half-court shot?
I mean,
that's a terrible rule, and this guy got scammed by the bigwigs at Louisville.
Isn't that a fair point, though? The fact that you play high school basketball, that makes you that much more likely to hit a half-court shot than somebody who's never played basketball
in their
life?
Yeah, because I think they're searching for people who have never played before. So, like,
which is just a cheap move. They're advertising, we'll pay free college tuition for someone who can hit a half-court shot.
But only if you
don't have any arms or legs, and you'll never hit the shot and we'll never have to pay your tuition.
Quick take, this sounds like a hoax that may or may not have involvement from the Chinese government.
It's true.
Trying to create an economic depression.
Gilman, how do you feel about this? If you were the guy, what would you do?
If I was the guy, I'm not sure what I would do, but I'll tell you one thing. I'd expose Louisville for this whole China thing. I'm thinking it was Louisville, right?
Yeah.
Louisville, Cardinals, red. What's the China flag? Red.
Oh,
so,
man.
Red, communist, Matt?
Well, you're coming out with some hot takes right here. We've never really had this before.
Just another thing about Louisville. Rick Pitino is the absolute worst. I would not be surprised if he's in bed with a Chinese. He's just terrible, almost as corrupt as the Anthead Commissioner Mitchell Roy. It just, I mean, you look at all the sanctions against him. He's the worst.
He is.
I think this is like reverse karma. The basketball gods knew that Louisville was going to pull this scam.
Yep.
And Kevin Ware.
Kevin Ware.
It's karma.
You're telling me Kevin Ware happened because of this scam?
Yeah.
Why is Kevin Ware the one paying? Why is Kevin Ware the benefactor?
Because he chose to go to Louisville.
Yeah. Sometimes good things happen. Bad things happen to good people because bad people do bad things.
Yep.
Is it possible the Chinese government was also involved in Kevin Ware's kneecap?
Probably.
Shattering?
It's pretty likely.
That's a hot take, honestly. Anyways, Jerry, this was a huge news story this week. The Grammys. Everybody.
Oscars. We got a Jerry.
Yeah, honestly.
Oh, another Jerry. Jack Flanagan, for confusing the award shows.
What's the difference? Who cares? Honestly, were you guys really watching?
There are all
happen?
A bunch of rich people celebrating
Here's
each other
difference.
On stage.
Oh, it's terrible.
Here's the difference.
It's disgusting. What?
Actually,
what's
I won't
difference?
Say the difference.
What's the difference?
Because it's a little edgy.
Where's the line?
Where's the line?
Where are we going to cross the line?
All right. So we found the difference. We found the line. And we had to cut that line out. It was a little inappropriate. But back to the Oscar talk.
We crossed the line.
It was actually locker room talk, if I've ever heard it. But anyways, Oscar talk. What do we think? I mean, were you guys even watching? Who the hell watches these shows?
Nope.
I was watching.
I watched a little bit, but then it got you know, it got very boring.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel was good.
Is this the one where they sing, or is this the movie one?
This is the movie. See, you don't even know the difference between the Grammys and the Oscars.
I know the difference.
Yeah.
You know, I think we should bring up when they brought the bus drivers
the tour
in.
Bus.
The bus drivers in. The guy with the purple phone case just, I don't know if I can say it, he's just groping everybody going around, and everybody's just accepting it because he's got a purple phone case.
And then, like, who was it? The one guy came up and he married the two people?
I didn't see
that. So basically, it's just a contest for who can get the most attention.
Yeah, I stopped respecting the Oscars when Lopez didn't win Best Supporting Male Actor for his role in Shark Boy and Lava Girl. So ever since then, it's hard to watch it with, like, respect.
Too many side shows going on, right?
It's like watching a comedy show, honestly, watching all these fake actors get these awards they don't deserve.
So, but one person thought they got the award, and then were you watching this, Sean?
I didn't watch that live. At that point, the awards had put me to sleep.
So boring.
But I did watch the videos afterwards, and one thing I have to say is respect to the guy who was presenting the award, because he clearly saw the problem before it happened. Because you see him open the envelope and he looks at it for a second, looks up, looks at it again, looks very confused because he knows it doesn't say the right thing.
So he's trying to put on a show.
And you know what he does? Great, great move. I don't know where this would fit in the segments. But he takes the envelope, shows it to the lady next to him, and she just goes and reads it off. So he dodges the bullet. He doesn't say it, but he knew it was happening. And you got to love that. A guy who knows when he's in deep and that he can just blame it on the lady next to him.
Just hands it off.
Exactly.
And then the lady fumbled it hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, she was carrying – she wasn't given a football to carry. She was given a time bomb. And it blew up.
He knew, too. You're standing up there, you have to know it's going to be a major news story. Everybody in the world is going to hear about it.
Yeah, and he didn't know how to deal with it, so he said...
He just passed it off to the chick.
I'm not going to.
He passed it off to the chick to make her the Jerry of the Week.
Exactly.
That was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gilman?
Any other hot takes from the Grammys or Oscars or whatever
it
was?
For the Oscars, something we should ask ourselves is, are the Oscars still racist? We got to ask ourselves that.
Also, are they rigged?
Are they rigged? I don't know.
This is a little conspiracy theory. So the guy gets up there, or the lady, reads La La Land Best Picture. Do you think the Oscars, from the time that the people that won for La La Land got up to the stage and started talking, that the Oscars paid millions of people to sit on Twitter and Instagram and all these social medias and just wait for, like, Oscars racist to start trending? And as soon as it happened, they were like, all right, shut it down. We got to give it to Moonlight to show them we're not racist.
That's a good point. That's a hot take.
I think you got to stay woke on that.
Is it possible that the Chinese government was involved in this too?
Enough Chinese government, please.
No,
that's ridiculous. No.
I mean, we don't know who this Academy, I'm doing air quotes, bad radio, you can't see it, but the Academy, we don't know who they are, or maybe we do, I don't pay too much attention to it, but, you know, who are these guys?
That's a fair point. They always talk about the air quotes Academy.
As they say on Twitter, why don't they turn their location on, or why don't they show their faces? Right? Yeah. Pull up.
Bunch of wimps.
Right? If they can't show their faces, then...
Not football guys. Not football guys.
What's good, Academy? As Nicki Minaj would say.
We need someone to call, you know, if someone loses, get up on stage, say, what's good? You know, where you at?
Anyways, we've got our final segment today, and this one's called Hypotheticals. We've talked about it a little bit today. We're going to talk about it a little more. Our special guests have some hypotheticals. Here we go.
All right. So this is a would you rather. Would you rather live the rest of your life with one rollerblade on at all times, or have to walk behind a little person who is always walking a little bit slower than you would like to or need to?
That is a great question, Sean. Flanny, what's your opinion on this one? I want to hear your take.
I mean, the rollerblade would be kind of fun. You just ride around on one rollerblade. When you get tired, you can just kind of glide around.
You can't really do that, though.
You have one foot, though.
Yeah.
It's only one foot. And when's the last time since, like, the 1990s that you saw someone wearing a rollerblade get chicks?
Oh, that's also true. It's also very true. It doesn't happen.
Could the little person be your wingman?
Oh,
like that adds
stay
a whole.
Stay woke. That's a hot take.
I'm not sounding harsh here, but it's like a little dog. You know, they see see you walking him.
It's just.
Just to be clear, the guy's not the on line? A leash. All right, big dog. My bad, big dog.
And we found the line.
Matt, I think we found the line
again. I think our new guests found the line.
Well, I mean, it's not wrong. I mean, you got this person in front of you, an actual human being, and like people are seeing it, like, oh my god, like you're so kind and whatever, and like chicks are just swarming you, and you're like, yo, how about some for my buddy too, and then. I mean,
Matt, we'll cut this. We'll cut this. Yeah.
Are we going to edit this part off, Lanny?
We'll edit this part. But, I mean, it's the rollerblade is a good conversation starter.
It's a good conversation starter.
You're rolling around with one rollerblade. Chicks are going to have to come up and say, oh, what's up with that rollerblade?
But yet again, so is the little person.
Quick hypothetical. We were just talking about before the show, Super Bowl parties, Super Bowl food. What is the worst Super Bowl hypothetical you can think of at a party?
All right. So you're at a Super Bowl party. They got Oreos out. They got chips out. You take the Oreo, dip it in milk. It breaks. All is lost. Then you go to the chips. You dip it in the queso or the salsa. It breaks. That's gone. What's worse?
Ooh. What's the bigger food tragedy?
And how do you go about solving both problems?
Yeah, you can't recover from that. It's kind of hard. Flanny?
I mean, the milk and cookie one, it kind of stinks, honestly, because then your milk is all crummy.
Milk's delicious.
Your Oreo's gone.
True.
Ew, that's a tough tragedy.
I think the Oreo's probably worse because I'm a survivor of this experience happening to me. Because when the Oreo falls down into the milk, it's down there for a little bit and just starts to like fall apart, and yeah. you can't recover it. But with a chip, you can send a recovery chip. You know, you can send a recon team and you can get that chip out of there. But that Oreo, he's gone. He's
hot
dead.
Hot take. What if that recovery chip breaks while it's on the recon mission?
You got to go home at that point.
Isn't that the worst? That's when you got to retreat.
Abort. You got to abort. The enemy's got you. You got two soldiers behind enemy lines, and you got no one left to send.
See, sometimes you just got to know when to quit. Yeah. And that's a moment when you're like, okay, it's time.
Sometimes you also have to know what's worth going for.
Yeah.
Like, is a chip worth it?
Especially a chip in queso. Is it worth it? Right?
Yeah. What about a chip in guac? Does that change?
The chip in guac is like, because the guac is like hard.
Yeah.
So it breaks, but it's still like sticking out. So yeah. You can kind of grab it.
Yeah.
How about this? Chip in peach salsa.
Oh. That's so worth it. You're getting that chip out.
What is peach salsa? I've never had
it. You've never had peach salsa?
I feel like this
never.
Is like a Jack Flanagan thing.
No. Jack Flanagan never has it.
Hey, whoa, wait a second. The Flanagan household is always stocked with peach salsa.
Sometimes.
I had it at the Super Bowl.
How does it even work, peach salsa?
It's like salsa that's just sweet and like has a really good
flavor. Like you, Matt.
Not a fan.
Sweet like you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I've actually got, just thought, top of the head, no script. The boys can attest for this. Bad radio, but I've got a new segment for you boys. Should he quit?
Should he quit?
So you throw out a name, we debate, should he quit? My first one, Derrick Rose, should he quit?
I thought he already quit.
He's going to quit. Because
he quit?
That's just what I thought.
Oh, no. He's on the Knicks right now.
See, I think the Knicks weren't they about to like wave him or whatever? Goes to the Timberwolves, right?
I'm not sure what's going on with Derrick Rose. I'm pretty sure he might be dead. We're not sure, but I'm voting he should quit.
I have one. LeBron James. Kyle Korver's team now.
Yeah, it's now a feud between DeRon and Kyle Korver, so should he quit?
Honestly,
should he quit?
Unless LeBron finds a way to pull that sportsmanship move and miss a three like these Corbin or DeRon guys
Williams.
Did. DeRon Williams, yeah, that guy, whoever he is, he got to quit.
Yeah, unless LeBron can miss a three like DeRon did for the Celtics, you should quit.
Didn't LeBron recently turn, was it 32? He's on the wrong side of 30. That's when you know, when you're getting closer to, you know, the age, that's when you should probably quit. He's quit while he's ahead, right?
New one. David Price. Should he quit?
Should he quit? He's out for a year. I say give him time.
That's a quit for me because, one, saves the Red Sox a whole lot of money if he quits.
$200
million? Yeah, roughly around $200 million. And, you know, he's doing pretty terrible in postseason and
not really a huge Price fan. So
Chris Sale, he's here. So
yeah, we got Sale now.
Go ahead, walk out of the locker room, David.
One more, Mitchell Roy.
Should he quit?
Should he quit as commissioner?
I say Sean Tierney and Zach Gilman are great hosts.
Yes.
No. I'm talking commissioner.
Oh, commissioner.
I agree with the host. Both.
He should quit both. He should quit both.
The league is riddled with corruption, and it all starts with the bitty draft, the all-star draft process.
Yep.
So
how is I in the all-star game? I'm still befuddled. Can't even. Like,
aren't we all?
That's a good word.
Aren't we all?
You know how they have those players who don't make the playoffs and they're always in the studios at TNT, at NBA? Like, that was you, Sean. Like, you had a mic. Like, you were interviewing.
Exactly.
Like, that should not have been. You should have been out in the court.
Shameless plug. Like, everyone go back and watch that broadcast. It was electric. We asked the tough questions to the people that needed to be asked. And
that's true.
It was a great show.
Now one hot topic of discussion in all of those interviews was, should Sean have been playing in that All-Star game? Matt, Zach?
Yeah.
Give me some takes.
I'm going to go with yes. I'm not sure how that All-Star, did we lose? Did the seniors lose?
Seniors did.
They got smoked.
Yeah.
It was led by Jack Heaps and his horrific
butchering
of basketball.
I think instead of putting a bunch of inathletic rejects on the senior team, we should have at least gone with, you know, a couple decent athletes.
Football, we should have gone with football guys.
Sean Tierney. Football guy. He's got grit. He's got heart. What more can you ask for? We are all witnesses. I wasn't invited.
There you go. That's another one.
I wasn't even in the conversation. So, I mean, it's just a stab in the back.
It felt a bit like the Oscars two years ago.
Maybe a little prejudice against, you know, football guys.
We got La La Landed. That's what we did. That's what happened.
All right. I have a question. Are you smarter than Christopher Columbus? Serious question.
Good question.
The guy lived in this 1400s. How much did he really know?
Couldn't have known much. They didn't have Wikipedia.
Didn't even discover America. I mean, who did?
No. I believe
the Pilgrims.
The Vikings.
He did.
They found San Diego.
So
he thought it was India.
But Christopher Columbus sails across the ocean, finds America. I can open up Google Maps and find America.
See, if he was
I smarter than Christopher Columbus?
You probably are.
I don't even think calculus was invented when Christopher Columbus was alive, and I take that in high school right now. I'm smarter than Christopher
Columbus. What is the definition of smart? Honestly, because this is the type of discussion, you know, Cy Young, he was a great pitcher back in the 1900s, and he's got an award named after him.
Yep.
But, I mean, is Cy Young really better than all these pitchers now?
No. Just like LeBron in the 90s, right?
Also, something we got to ask ourselves with Christopher Columbus is, considering there were no streets, is he able to be street smart? So that's already off. That's already off.
He's got street smart, so I got him on that one.
He's more like ocean smart, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you would call it. Maybe cobblestone smart. I'm not sure what you call it, but I mean, he obviously doesn't have the street smarts. Is Christopher Columbus a nerd?
Is he a football guy?
I'll give him this. He's got balls because he got on a boat and sailed across the ocean. I don't know if I would have done that in the 1400s. But what I do know is right now I think I know more than Christopher Columbus. I think we all do.
Is he dead yet, Christopher Columbus?
did he receive a high school education from Bedford High School? The best high school in New Hampshire?
Where is his GED, huh? I want to see proof. That he's even from Spain. We don't even know.
Was Christopher Columbus an illegal immigrant when he came to America?
He definitely was.
He didn't go through Ellis Island.
Yeah. Where was his passport?
As I'm sitting here in the corner, just wondering what's going on here, how did we start with the Christopher Columbus talk?
Well, I mean, I think a question arose in the room. Is he dead yet? Is Christopher Columbus dead yet?
Because hypothetically, if he wasn't dead, who would be smarter? So we're going to reel this discussion back into sports right after this quick break. But just a reminder, you're listening to The Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. And we'll be back real soon with a quick exit interview. So stick around. And we're back for our final segment on The Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. So we're coming in with our exit interview with our two special guest hosts. Matt, you want to talk about some hot takes? What do we got?
Well, I want their hot takes. And what if, since you guys are a little new, and I'm just wondering how you guys felt about the show today. What went well? What went wrong?
Well, I'm gonna do spin zone here. I'm gonna do some cold takes because I do not mess around with hot meals. I think it was a pretty good show. Probably I have never listened to this show before. You know, no disrespect, just never got around to it. But I think
it's an absolute commitment,
absolutely electric show, and I think it's probably the best one you've ever had.
no doubt.
I'm thinking endorsement deals. Possibly gonna start my own radio show after this, after seeing how electric I am.
And Zach mentions an interesting thing there, starting our own radio show, maybe compete for downloads. Interesting
rivalry.
Question. But if not, I definitely think this is the, this will be the show that makes Weekend Wind Up big.
Puts it on the map.
Yeah.
That's what we need. I have just confirmed that me and Sean Francistini are starting our own radio. it'll be... I'm not sure what it's going to be called yet. Something with dogs in it, D-A-W-G.
So I recant my prior statements. This will not be the show that makes Weekend Wind Up big.
This
will
be the show that makes you guys big.
This will be the one that makes us big, and we'll bury their chances at downloads.
Oh, my God. That's a good point. So looking back, you know, what did you expect coming to the show? Like, you're coming to the studio. Like, what were you thinking?
You know, I didn't really know what to expect, like I said. Never listened to it before. I was thinking, you know, but I listen to a lot of Barstool podcasts. So I was thinking about that and, you know, just kind of ran through my entire life, you know, making sure I had no skeletons in the closet so you couldn't personally attack me.
It's a good point, Sean. Good.
I had no idea what to expect. I for sure didn't expect any kind of professionalism here.
You obviously didn't know where the line was either. Right?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing.
You came in blind.
You come in blind and have no idea where the line is.
We
found it, which I think is important if I'm going to start my own radio show. You got to find the line. And I think at my radio show, the line will be, you know, a little bit more gray.
We just figured out the name. It's going to be Top Dog, D-A-W-G Radio. Top Dog Radio.
Now, back to the headphone debate that we had at the beginning of the show. Gilman, you've got both headphones on right now. What's up with that?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I kind of pieced it together that really makes zero sense to have one off because then I'm, you know, listening to both my voice outside the headphones and inside. So it really makes zero sense at all, and it's a lot more comfortable fit with them both on. So, I mean, I recant my old statement of, you know, one headphone's better.
Sean, you found some headphones in the corner, so you're very resourceful,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to do in the entertainment business. It's a dog-eat-dog world. I had to go out and find headphones to use, and I did. Still had to share the mic, but wouldn't want to share it with anyone else. And, yeah.
So now, any final thoughts as we go into these last few minutes of the show? What do we think about the game of the week? And you guys have any other thoughts on the segments? Any hypotheticals or anything?
Game of the week is Baker's,
no
right?
Doubt. No
That's
doubt.
Us.
No doubt.
All right.
Game of the week.
It's a big game. Big matchup, and
emotions running high. I can see based on the previous call we had with David Guimont.
All I'm saying is, look Guimont. To me to score 40.
40.
Yeah,
really 40.
I would say for me, the goal of the big game of the week is at least getting one technical, and you know I'm really looking to maximize my fouling and look for us to utilize both timeouts because I'm coming out public here. I'm saying that. I am the head coach of the Presbyterian Blue Hose. I'm coming out publicly announcing.
Are you the one who calls the shots, timeouts, all that stuff?
I am now. We lost our head coach, Nick Leahy, and so interim head coach, Zach Gilman, player and coach. I've got grit.
Just do it. We're all gritnesses.
And Zach mentions an interesting point. I don't think a lot of people realize every player is allowed one flagrant foul a game, and I don't see people using it. basketball is a game of... It's a mind game. It's like chess, like Victor says.
Like chess.
And sometimes you got to get in your opponent's head and, you know, let them know what's up.
Completely agree.
So, folks, if you like what you hear, show up for the game of the week, Sunday, 7 p.m.
Bedford High School, correct?
Presbyterian Blue Hose versus the Bakers. And that's it.
And tune it to Top Dog Radio.
Top Dog Radio. But anyways, that's it for this episode of the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. If you happen to miss any of the show today, or would just like to listen to a little more, follow us on Instagram at Weekend Windup. That's one word, @Weekend Windup. or look us up at www.podbean.com on the 105.1 WBNH page. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Weekend Windup for any updates and possibly even some fun videos to really brighten up your day. So thank you for listening. Tune in next week. And remember, Bedford,
stay classy.